starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. Living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in their hands. Watching the crows, they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand.
Hello and welcome to Spingola and Friends. It is Tuesday, January 13th, 2015. This is Deanna Spingola broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. This radio program does not have any corporate sponsors. Therefore, we are free to discuss controversial topics that are not politically correct and those that people would not even do a discussion with on other programs. My website is spingola.com, where you will find information about my three published books, The Ruling Elite Series, as well as a timeline of book 2 and 3. My new book will be coming out soon. I'm now working on the edited version that I received from the publisher. It is titled Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences. Please visit the website of a dear friend and listener who has created and maintains the website, spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com. That website has all the audio files of my programs, including the RBN audio files, the American Free Press files, the Spingola special files, and, of course, the files from this program. My Twitter account is twitter.com/Deanna Spingola. If you have questions during the program, please feel free to call 646-787-1915. We will also be taking questions and comments from the listeners via my email, comment@spingola.com. And we also invite you to join in the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. My guest today is Tony Pantelresco, and his website is augmentinforce.50webs.com. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
I would like to open with a question from a listener.
Already?
he's very funny. He's really funny. And he says, my favorite way to relax is with a cigar and turpentine. But a friend told me that this could be a fire hazard. I cinched my eyebrows and bangs the other day. Should I be concerned about this?
Oh, what a hoot. I don't even want to know where this guy's from. What planet does he reside on? I mean, what a hoot.
He's just funny. He is so funny. He just, I was just laughing my butt off when he sent that. Oh, gosh.
He spins his eyelashes and he still asks the question. That's what got me.
Yeah, he's funny. He's got
concerned. I think I'd be concerned not about the turpentine and the cigar, but about his mental capacity here.
No, he's just really funny.
It sounds like it. I mean, I've heard stranger things people do. I mean, you'd be surprised that, you know, when we do our videos and we show everything and we write everything down and we put it on the video and we put it in the show more tab, and sometimes people send me responses on what they've done and what they've mixed, and the interesting thing sometimes is we tell them on the video not to mix the certain mix things this with these things, and they do it anyway. And then they contact me saying, "Well, I am not feeling so good." And I said, "You think?"
Now let's talk about your videos and the wonderful. I mean, you have so many wonderful things on those videos. I sat one day just in the last couple of weeks and went through all the videos, and I have just been mixing up all kinds of wonderful things. And let's talk first about your flash drive. You have a flash drive. It's 30 gigs, and it has 3 books on it, 120 videos off the YouTube that you and Dave produced. All kinds of things are on this flash drive. And I think that everybody should have one. I mean, it's just an amazing store of information that people could just use. And it's just fabulous. How do people get this flash drive?
Well, you can contact me either via email or phone and order it. And basically, our method of payment is either money order or Western Union. And we even tell you if you are in a network or with a group of people that can't afford the cost, either, you know, chip in, buy one and make copies, or just make copies and distribute. We're not holding anybody to any kind of, proprietary thing. Share it. The idea is to get everybody equipped with this information because of the things that are ongoing, the things that are changing, the direction we're heading into in regard to health and health control, and also hopefully to develop an autonomous attitude toward the medical system so you're not having to deal with it. When you're hearing stories like the Supreme Court getting involved with a person's decision to make a choice, then I think at this point in time, we need to just stay away from those institutions if they're going to be able to push that kind of stupidity. So the best offense is a good defense, or best defense, good offense. So if you can take care of yourselves and have the ability to do this, then you're not going to go see a doctor, which means that they'll go broke, which is okay by me.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
I don't see how any government – I mean, I personally, this is my views on a lot of things. And again, we're talking about, you know, controversial topics. You know, my view is this: if you want anything and you want and you have access to it, I don't care what it is, whether it's a poison or a benefit, if you really want it, then I think you should be able to have what you want. Mind you, pay the consequences on whatever your decision is. But I mean, if you want to have unpasteurized milk, for instance, why is it that I can't get milk from a cow or a goat or a sheep from a farm direct? Yet I can go buy any street drug on the market today, you know, illegal street drugs, without any problem, without any kind of repercussion. So we have a problem with this system here, that if you want to eat a whole food, a real whole food, not some junk that they're selling at a health food store, you can't get access to it. And I've been telling people for the longest time, because of the chemtrails and because of the glyphosate, because of the genetics, because of chemicals that they're putting in the other chemicals, like nanoparticles they're putting in the food supply, we're heading for a famine. The bees are not there. We lost over 60 million bees just in Ontario alone. The butterflies, we didn't see hardly any monarchs, which are, again, key pollinators here. And the bats now, the bat population is now facing problems. These are your three key main pollinators in the field. And pest control, bats, you know, feed on mosquitoes and bugs to keep the pests down. So when we're talking what we're talking today's time, I think, having every bit of experience or knowledge at your disposal to develop your own autonomy is the best thing you could be doing right now.
I agree, yeah. And monarchs, I mean, we used to see them. I grew up in California. And they were just all over, and bees were all over. There were so many more birds, and you just don't see them hardly ever. The only birds that seem to remain are the the very strong ones, and I've had people on the program talking, beekeepers, talking about the decreasing number of bees and hives, and this was a gentleman that is in southern or mid-Illinois, and it is a real problem. It isn't something that is imagined. It is actual.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, it's not just a local thing in Ontario. It's right across the whole northern hemisphere. When we're talking bee loss, I think the pesticides that they're spraying are only a small part of the problem. I think the bigger part of the problem is the chemtrails. Did you see the video yet? Chemtrails: The Secret War by the Italians.
Yes.
They did a segment there where they talked about these so-called orgasmically organic foods and found that there were 23 chemicals just from the chemtrails alone in the food supply. And if the bees are having to be exposed to the aluminum and the barium and the nano silver and the nano cadmium and the mercury and the lead and the strontium and the plutonium, uranium, there's another thorium, from the sky, from the chemtrails. And then that's probably the bigger reason why these bees are dying. When I was down in Arizona about 8 years ago, I got to see firsthand the blowout of chemtrails in Phoenix. I mean, it was unbelievable, the daily saturation that the city was going through. And all you saw on the road were dead doves, dead bees, and the trees were literally dying, the leaves were dying on the trees.
Wow.
So.
Well, just in my community, there are 2,400 trees in the process of dying, and it starts at the top, and it seems to get to the maples first. And they just start dying from the top down. And if you go through the neighborhoods, of course you don't see it now because we're in midwinter. But in the fall, you could go through the neighborhood and count on any given street 12 to 25 trees that were in the process of dying.
Yeah, we had a tree planted here in front of the store. Because the main trees that we get hit, I see hit up here, because every region or section seems to have a different species of trees that are getting affected. But the trees that we see here that get hit are the oaks, the maples, the chestnuts, especially the chestnuts. There was another tree. The older maples survive. The younger ones get wiped out. They get the blotchy black stuff. You'll find that on one side of the trees, there'll be a coating of some kind of crap, which is a polymer-based metal from the sky. The other side, the bottom side of the trees, usually don't have it. And what it literally is doing is just choking the tree out, basically, and burning it up. So when we're talking trees now, that's oxygen. I like breathing. I don't know about the rest of you, but I enjoy, a good whiff of air there.
Right.
I don't want to have to walk around in my life carrying oxygen tanks so I can breathe normally. When we're talking, genetically modifying, because that's what this is technically, you're geoengineering the earth or genetically modifying the planet, everything is being altered, everything is being changed, and everything is being... what the normal flow of activity is being choked out or died. And again, once this gets to a certain point, there isn't going to be a whole lot of anything out there, and you will pay a premium for everything. So I think it's, we've been saying on the show, I figure in 2 years we'll be in famine in North America. So at the rate it's going. So I've been telling people, start getting an indoor garden growing. Start growing your own stuff. Primarily, one of the reasons why you want to do this is because if you're going to buy vitamins, you can put them in the soil, and the plant will extract those vitamins, and you'll get them in the food again. And instead of having a 5% nutritional value, you'll have a 99% nutritional value, meaning that the food will actually start healing you. Under the current system now, Their food supply is stripped right down to next to nothing. They're loading them with glyphosate, which is a very powerful chelating agent that strips out the nutritional value of the plants. They're spraying nano silver on a lot of the plants now and fruits. You can see if you have an ocular and you go to a grocery store, you can now you can look through with an ocular and see the metal particulates on the skin. Then they seal them with a wax. So we are in a situation where, you know, we better build our ark, if you will, and, you know, start looking at innovative ways of growing things indoors, whether it's through either pot gardens or vertical gardens, aquaponics. I saw an aquaponic system on, was it Amazon or eBay? For $47 you can start. I'll give you an idea how to expand it. But these are things that we need to start evaluating properly. And not being caught up with disinformers and nonsensical governments that are trying to keep you, you know, on the dumb side.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned nano silver, and I know that one of your videos talks about how to produce colloidal silver.
Yeah.
And you, in another video or another radio program that I was listening to, that you were on, and you are on, let's see, you are on one radio network, the second Monday, you're on with Patrick Timpone, and anyway, I was listening to some of those programs, and you were talking about colloidal silver, and you were also mentioning that you would not take nano anything. Now, I do have a silver generator, colloidal silver generator, that I've had for 3 or 4 years. But I always felt kind of, well, if metal's not really good for you, why would I be...
Some metals are really good for you. I mean, copper, as far as, in my humble opinion, is far better than silver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a far more potent viricide. There's been a lot of these so-called gurus out there promoting this crap, this nano silver, saying that it can cure Ebola. What cures Ebola? Selenium. You don't need to be using silver to treat this. But again, it's all about marketing, hype, and fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Ebola feeds on selenium, it actually looks for selenium in the body. So what happens is when it feeds on, the selenium deactivates it completely. So it's again, and they've known this since 1995. This is nothing new. It's just been around for a long time. So all this nonsense about Ebola or E. coli or whatever the heck they want to release in the news to scare people, there's always some way of dealing with it. But, I mean, even polio. Polio was cured with copper. When you look at the history of polio, copper sulfate, copper ascorbate, or copper citrate killed polio. They already had a cure for polio way before the vaccine came around. So when you're talking metals, there are some metals, and we need copper. Really, we need it because one of the things that it does is it rewires our brain. It rebuilds the connections in the cells in the brain so that the brain can communicate. So a lot of this nonsense they've been telling us about copper being dangerous for us is a lot of horse hockey. I take, 20 milligrams a day in sulfur every day, and I've not seen any side effect. Negative side effect that even remotely indicates that this stuff is dangerous. And I was talking on the other radio show about Patrick's show on the when they do an assessment on vitamins with animals like rats or mice, and they give them so many milligrams per kilogram or whatever they're giving them. When they transfer that over to human dosing, you can actually magnify that dose that they're suggesting 5 to 10 times higher because it's way too low. And the suggested doses that they're telling you will not work. So, I mean, even vitamin C. I mean, now they're even suggesting as high as 10 grams a day as the average because of the level of crap we're being exposed to. Even selenium. Selenium is usually in a microgram dose. I'm taking about 20 milligrams of this stuff, again, in sulfur, and not seeing any negative reaction with it, other than the fact that it's actually helping flush out the nanoparticles out of my skin, flushing out the wires and some of the nanocarbon fibers have been coming out, and some others, and even chips, microchips, are coming out. So it
really.
Oh yeah, we're exposed to a lot of smart dust, and people don't realize that you're breathing this in, you're eating this, you're drinking this, and this stuff does accumulate in the skin. When we're talking nanoparticles, we're talking anything that between 1 and 50 nanometers will penetrate to anything.
Wow.
So when you're talking self-replicating nanoparticles, because that's what they're using up in the sky, that's what they're using in a lot of things, this has got the scientists all over the planet basically shaking in their boots, because anything nano touches converts or rewrites. It works like a virus. It works like a pathogen. And so when it's absorbed in the skin, when it's absorbed, in the membrane, it will now collect with other nanoparticles and start to form or replicate whatever the program is intended. And nanoparticles, it's not like you get one tiny little particle in a cell. We're talking clusters, huge clusters that go into the cell, re-engineer the cell or kill the cell, and then it's used for raw material to keep on building in your body. So I've had come out of me inch and a half long fibers. Some of them were copper, some of them were insulated wire, some of them were carbon nanofibers, some of them were silver wires. I've had silver come out of me, I've had aluminum come out of me, mercury, I've had microchips come out, tiny little specks of chips that you could see, perfectly circular. I've had what looked like jasper pieces come out, turquoise pieces come out. We've got a lot of stuff deep in the deeper layers of skin, and it takes a lot of work to get the stuff to come out. This is why I think a lot of lupus issues are happening. This is why I think a lot of the self-destructive immune responses are going on in the body, because it's trying to attack these particulates that are saturating the system. And then with the glyphosates, with the glyphosates, one of the things they do is they spread aluminum through the body, because chelating agents work two ways. One is to strip out, and one is to push in. So when you're adding a glyphosate to the soil, it's stripping out seven minerals, and then you're sending down on the body toxic metals. The toxic metals are what are going to be pushed through the system. Soy is one of the worst foods for metal poisoning. They spray nanoparticles on it, which it absorbs like a sponge, and then they put glyphosates in it so that it absorbs more aluminum. So all these people eating all this wonderful orgasmically organic soy is eating nothing but a poisoned food. It was never meant for human consumption. The Chinese were the ones who actually figured a way to utilize it by fermenting it in lime for 2 years. And even then, it was only they only ate it sparingly. Today, everything that we're being exposed to is overkill, and almost on everything. And it's being designed by that way to create a problem for your body's ability to be more resistant to being afflicted. Did we talk? I'm going to throw something here a little controversial for you, because I know how comfortable you are about sex.
What's that?
Have we talked about vaginas at all?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, I'm gonna talk about vaginas.
Okay. Half the population have them, so I guess it's something we can talk about. Okay.
Now more. Well, I think it's for every one guy, there's three women. So I mean.
Okay. So.
It's a little bit more than half. But anyway, all right. A lot of women are having problems in their vaginal area, and a lot of them can't have sex. They are actually being castrated because of the glyphosates. And I've asked women from the ages of 19, because I'm pretty straight out with about a lot of things, so I mean, it's just my nature. So
well,
I asked.
I said at the top of the program, we talk about stuff you wouldn't hear on other programs. So,
well,
I mean, you're in safe company here.
I'm safe company no matter where I go, because I've never been politically correct. I've always voted for the wrong idiot. So, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
But anyway, so I've talked to some of these women, and a lot of women are having either extremely painful sex, if they can have sex at all. Some can't even have it. they, along the inside of the vaginal wall, they feel like there's a burning sensation. Some feel like there's some kind of material stuck in the vaginal lips themselves. Some of them are having issues even with the skin. And this is all a direct result of glyphosates, because one of the things that it does is it stops the estrogen production, which also stops the nitric oxide production that's required in order to have intercourse. So when we're talking, again, and the same thing's happening with the males. Like we were talking about penises a couple of shows ago, which really got excited about. And the same thing is going on there. It's an androgen blocker, and it stops the androgens from, again, collecting in the body where it needs to go, especially in the heart and brain and everywhere else. And again, the nitric oxide isn't being released like it's supposed to, and the testosterone isn't there like it's supposed to. So we have a weaponized form of food here that is creating endocrine disrupting chemicals. Now, some of the women who do get pregnant manage to get past the painful process there. Some of them are now having spontaneous abortions 6 to 8 weeks later. And then when they are born, some of the kids, they already are having problems with brain development because they don't have the copper, the zinc, the manganese, the magnesium, the sulfur, the cholesterol, because it disrupts cholesterol as well. Then they get vaccinated and they're completely destroyed. Wow. Because what's happening here is you've got nothing there to begin with. The foundation is not set in. The immune system is not capable of handling these vaccines. The vaccines are now using nano to deliver the live culture. So we're basically genetically modifying or genetically engineering biology or humans with these particles that should not be in their bodies. I mean, aborted baby material, pig blood, sheep blood, chicken parts, these should not be there. Aluminum, mercury. Now we're talking nano delivery on top of this, which means this is going to not only get into the organs and the tissues, we're going right to the cellular levels, we're going right to the DNA, we're going right to the genes and the chromosomes. We're altering everything here. So this is how things work as far as weaponization goes. And then when you're getting frequencies, you know, on top of that, which activate these nanoparticles, you wind up with a whole variety of different issues that we've never seen before. So we are living in a time when we're looking at healing, not from the perspectives that we used to see 50 years ago, because 50 years ago, the pathogens were more of nature and origin. Today, they're all coming out of a lab. So we're dealing with a whole different paradigm today.
Now, speaking, getting back to the issue of having sexual relations, a lot of the people coming back from Iraq, the military personnel coming back from Iraq, when they do have sexual relationships with their partner, many that I've read, experience burning to the point that following intercourse, they literally have to put frozen peas in a plastic bag up inside to get the burning to stop. So something is happening, I don't mean depleted uranium. Something is happening to the youth of America, the military men of America, during their so-called military deployment to protect, you know, to impose democracy and protect the United States from whatever.
Yeah, to impose fascism.
They are coming back very ill, incredibly ill, to the point that they can't even have sex without it affecting their partner.
Well, that's because the amount of crap they're injecting into these soldiers now. I mean, the amount of steroids, the amount of again, we're talking nano here, and when we're talking nano, we are altering the whole physiological chemistry here. They're dumping steroids in them like crazy. they're exposed to not only the radiation, but they're also exposed to something which you would call valley fever, which is a fungal spore that's in the desert, which they can also absorb through the lung tissue. These shots and stuff might make them resistant for a while, but I mean they are being broken down. And you got to remember, all these young soldiers are going all over the world to, like I say, impose fascism, because that's what it's really imposing, corporocracies on these countries. They are not meant to come back, and they are not meant to come back to reproduce. So when they give them all this stuff, we are changing the endocrine system. And you got to remember, their food that they're eating, the military that they're feeding these guys, it's not the high quality food. I mean, it's just probably one step above dog food. You look at any of the MREs in the past, they're all loaded with soy. Not one
right.
of them does. So, I mean, you got that going on, which is also an endocrine disruptor, disrupting food on its own. And then when you're figuring that it's coming probably from, you know, a Syngesta or Symbis or Monsanto or Dow or DuPont or Pfizer or any of these other companies that are growing genetics, you know, they're not eating a non-GMO food. They don't care. The soldiers are not meant to come back. So when you're talking sexual intercourse and a fiery sensation, well, I mean, the sac is going to carry the fluid. If you got titanium dioxide or nano silver, it'll bypass the blood barrier of the testicles, which would load the stuff up inside, not to mention the fact that you are being vaccinated, and these nanoparticles will also penetrate. So every time there's any form of ejaculation going on, the woman's membranes, which is soft tissue inside, will be burnt. Basically, it's another means of birth control. You fry out the uterus, you fry out the ovaries, you fry out the female reproductive system, and you put a sperm that's dead inside, there's going to be a reaction, and not a good one.
Right. Now, you mentioned nano. Now, give us a description, a definition of nano.
Nano is any particle that's 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter. In other words, it's so small that it will fit inside. You can get a cluster of 1,000 to fit inside one of your cells.
Okay.
Now, when you're talking nano penetration, anything from 1 nanometer to 50 nanometers will penetrate your clothing, will penetrate your skin, will penetrate your cells, will penetrate your tissues, will penetrate your organs. On my webpage, I have a link called Nano Data, and it's a consolidation of research that's been done on nano across the planet. So when you're looking at nano, and I mean, one guy sent me an article via through Patrick on where they're putting nano in the food. They're putting it in food wrappings. They're putting it in meats. They're wrapped up. They're putting it in foods. They're putting it in cosmetics. They're putting it in vitamins. It's in almost a lot of things as a preserving agent. So you're getting tons of this nano products already being consumed. There's a link out there called 1600 consumable products with nano. And they give you a listing of all the products, you know, from your computers that you're playing with to the cosmetics you're using, the soaps, the vitamins, the silver products, which are all, some are all labeled colloidal, because they use that as a blanket term for it. The arguments that they've been posting about the smaller the size particle, the more effective it is. That's been a big, horrific misdirect to get people to be saturated with this stuff. It's the same thing of, you know, when you tell people not to eat soy, and then because you're eating so much of it, and they don't realize they're eating so much of it because of how the food is labeled. You know, when you see natural flavor, artificial flavor, when you see MSG, TVP, HVP, these are all different forms they're all soy, just different titles. And the same thing is going on now with silver and some of the other components that you're eating and not being aware of it, and you're being inundated with this stuff.
Now, could colloidal silver be a conductor to attract other nanoparticles, terrible things to the body. Could they, yeah. Could they actually be a conductor?
All your minerals can be conductive. I mean, sure. I mean, nano is a silver is a very high conductive material, and it is. Okay, there was one research on that nano data where they took nano gold and nano silver and ran a charge around it, and nothing happened. But the moment they put a binding agent, what they call the ligand, which can be either a protein, fat, or sugar, in between the two, and then they ran the charge, what happened was the gold particles sequenced right across the top, and the silver sequenced right across the bottom. Now, when you're looking at these nanoparticles, I just found something the other day that seemed a little interesting that I wanted to try to explore. The one thing about nanoparticles is the more positive it's charged, the more it will bind with the fat cells or other cells. But if there's a negative charge in the body, then the fat cells will actually repel the nano and can help flush it out. So, again, it's something that I got to, you know, explore a little further to see how to even make that doable. But, yeah, nanos, and again, if you are being hit with anything, whether it be radio, listening to an AM/FM radio, whether you're listening, you're around some kind of light, you're exposed to some sort of radio frequency, EMF, anything can trigger these things. Doesn't take much. And if the signal is there, you can feel an activity. I always tell people sometimes when you go from building to building, store to store, whatever, sometimes you walk in one place and there's, you know, you get sort of mind wiped. You're walking in a daze. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you walk in the store and you're scratching yourself all over the place. You can't figure out why all of a sudden you're itching. Sometimes you go into another place and all of a sudden you got this pain hitting the body. That's because these frequencies, these RFs in the stores are activating these things inside of you.
Holy cow.
Yep.
So I'm sorry. You have had all kinds of things come out of your body. And how do you get them out? I know that you're a big proponent of cleansing baths. And I just got a big, huge supply of magnesium flakes in. And, I mean, I really love magnesium baths, and I haven't put all the stuff in that you have recommended. I have it on hand, and I'm going to. But tell us about your cleansing bath.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath.
Oh, oh gosh. And I want to revisit the copper issue because, I mean, I had a hair sample test and they said, oh, you're too high on copper.
Yeah, they just increase your zinc, that's all.
Pardon me?
Just increase your zinc.
Okay, that's what I did. And the other thing is I do take the 200 mcg of selenium every day. And you say that you can take more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think now this is my assessment based on what I've seen in the last 30 years. I think the health food stores today or the health food system that's currently available in Canada and the United States, I think they're the worst enemy because they're only giving you at best maybe 25% fact and the rest is just BS. The studies I see all the time and, you know, that I look into and then, again, I'll experiment on myself or other, you know, or with other people. Say you guys want to try something, and we'll, you know, so we get a different spectrum of groups of people, women, men, you know, big, small, short, you know, fat, lean, tall, whatever. And we'll try these things and then compare notes sometimes. And the one thing that I've seen just in my own use, because we are so loaded with these nanoparticles and genetics and glyphosates in our bodies because we've accumulated these things for so long, that a lot of the materials and minerals that are supposed to be in the body is no longer there. And to get them back to their optimal levels, you need to be taking more than the suggested amount that they're telling you. In the future, when I get back with Dave, we're going to be showing you how to make your own selenium solution that you should have on hand, just in case an Ebola outbreak does happen to hit the United States or Canada. Which can, again, rectify it. You need selenium as well to protect the body from a lot of things, you know, regulate the heart, regulate the thyroid, regulate the iodine in the thyroid, For the male reproductive system, it's a very key mineral to protect the testicles from getting cancers. Every time you have sex, every time you ejaculate, every time you release, you are releasing selenium. That's all. That's part of the delivery mechanism. So you males need to be using and maintaining selenium even for that purpose. It helps regulate the pancreas. It's a very key mineral. And so when we're talking today, dosing, for instance, magnesium on its own can help flush out aluminum out of the body. Now, when you take an Epsom salt bath or add Epsom salts to it, you got both magnesium and sulfur, which both take aluminum out of the body, and sulfur binds with a lot of metals and also is used in the body to produce glutathione. So it's, you know, the baths I use a combination of borax and baking soda, Epsom salt, and trisodium phosphate, and I add a little turpentine in there and sometimes the essential juniper berry.
And you don't smoke a cigar in the bathtub?
Nope, I smoke a bong.
Oh, gosh.
This way I won't singe my eyebrows. Some people don't even know what a bong is anymore. I mean, they got a whole different thing today, but anyhow.
Okay. I have been doing, as I mentioned before the program started, I've been mixing up a lot of things that I've acquired from your videos and from other books that I've purchased. I've purchased the aromatherapy book that you mentioned in one of your videos, maybe 6 or 7 months ago. I've really been doing a lot of studying on my own, and just this past week I made face cream, which you can also use on your body. I've just been thinking, you know, okay, if you have something in your house, in your medicine cabinet, that it's a long list and you can't pronounce it, it's not something that you could eat, you shouldn't be putting it on your skin. You shouldn't be ingesting it.
Well, I'll tell you, today, I mean, women have been sabotaged to no end. You know, this has been going on since the 50s, you know, from anything from having hysterectomies that weren't necessary, removing ovaries, you know, strapping on a mammogram machine that's going to smash your breast, and then on top of that, we, you know, irradiate the blood so that now you have a cancer going on because they gave it to you. The fact that even the hygiene products themselves, from tampons and Kotex, even the bras themselves, are not really designed for the female physiology. It actually causes a lot of problems. And some of these chemicals are the sanitizing chemicals they put in the
deodorants
and the tampons or whatever. They can cause toxic shock syndrome. They can cause all kinds of wonderful things. So when we're talking today's and then on top of that, they've added, went further, took it to another level with microbeads. They put in some of these cosmetics, which bypass, again, the cellular defense mechanisms and go directly into the brain. And you got a lot of women wearing these cosmetics on the face that just go into the brain and just start screwing the whole chemistry up. And some of these lipsticks, which are red, majority of them, they're toxic to the liver, which you are absorbing through the lips as well. So you've got a lot of things there that are designed to enhance your beauty, but at the same time is wiping you out.
And so, how about aerosol hairsprays?
That's another one. I mean, that I didn't think people were still using those. Anyway, yeah, that's one of the worst ones because they've got a ton of aluminum on there. And so what happens is that gets into the scalp, into the brain, and it goes right in. I mean, you're at ground zero. Anything you put on your face, you are at ground zero, whether it's the earrings or the jewelry you're wearing, whether it's the cosmetic foundations that they put on, the coloring agents they put on their eyes and their lips, you know, and then on top of that, now we're putting tattoos and the steel studs in their faces, you know, they got them on their lips and their tongue and their eyes and nose, and they want to be walking, talking antennas and want to be connected to the Borg or something. I don't know, but that has got to be the dumbest thing you could ever do. These metals do absorb, especially when you penetrate the epidermis, and then you got the aluminum going directly into the brain, the nickel. Sometimes they have titanium. You know, this is all going directly into the system because you have bypassed defense mechanisms, and these things are just crazy. And some of them are even putting these things in their genitals, which makes me even wonder what is wrong with these people, but apparently they need better reception or something. So anyhow, they're loaded with metals from the tattoos. They're loaded with metals from the studs. They're loaded with metals from the cosmetics. Ever read your ingredients on some of these cosmetics, the titanium dioxide that's in them?
You know, I've never used the makeup, you know, like that skin-colored makeup on my face.
Okay.
I've never used that. And I don't use a lot of makeup. I figure that it's just, I just don't use it. I haven't for years.
That's probably why your brain is still intact.
Possibly, but it's just amazing to me what people are doing to their bodies, the tattoos. I mean, I've seen people who are just, well, we've all seen people who are just have tattoos up and down their arm and on their back, and that's poison. That paint, that the dyes are poison that they are putting into their bodies. Like you said, it's just.
Well, you got to remember, it's brain damage, eh? And you have to understand, everyone's been dummied down on such a level. I mean, when we're looking at what is being. Okay, let's look at bodybuilders, okay? Just a simple equation there. Bodybuilders want bigger muscles. They want to have a bigger sexual organ, or they want to be more sexual. So they take these anabolic steroids thinking they're going to be big and strong, and they're going to perform like a porn star. Now, what winds up really happening is they take these steroids, and then they have to take something like Viagra or Cialis because now they can't get erected because their body's chemistry is completely out of whack. Same with the women. A lot of women who are into bodybuilding are using anabolics, and now they're having some side effects from some of these anabolic components they're taking. So, in the interim,
like, what are some of the side effects?
Clitoral hypertrophy or clitoral growth. In other words, the clitoris will start to grow, look like a male organ. The squaring of the jawline, the hair, extra hair that may come out of this, and sometimes after they quit the steroid use, the clitoris doesn't shrink back, and the hair sometimes doesn't go away. The deepening of the voice, the loss of breast. I mean, that sometimes usually comes back. Most times it comes back. But when we're talking some of these, that's just the obvious things. The obvious things. When we're talking, majority of these guys are heavy users of these anabolics. For instance, a lot of them are dead by the time they're in their mid-50s. And a lot of people have this mindset that life is a real trip, and they don't care if they live fast and die young. Some people have that attitude, so they don't care what they do to their bodies, what they swallow, what they consume, what they put on the skin, you know, and they go that route. And again, they don't normally live longer or get through too much. But when we're talking today's times, I've often said in many shows that the 15-year-olds, 1-5, are not going to see 30. The majority of them will either be dead because of either starvation, and I don't mean because there won't be any food to eat, but the food that they're eating won't give them anything. And you sent me that thing with the glyphosate. They're saying by what, 2025, 25% of the population will be autistic.
Mm-hmm.
That is so erroneous and so so much bullshit. It's going to be more like 90%, not 25%. The food supply in North America is hideously toxic, and there's no label, there's no safety, there's no EPA there to protect you, there's no FDA there to protect you. Whatever protection regulations you had are gone because of free trade and other treaties that they've signed. You know, when you're talking Codex Alimentarius, Codex has over 143 countries under the same guidelines, and one of the guidelines is to reduce the food value down to 5%. So when we're talking some of the stuff that's going on today, a lot of these 15-year-olds are distracted today with the very thing that's pulsing them, their cell phones or whatever, and this is also altering their mental capacity. Did you see that video I sent you on the Motorola with Google?
No. Did you in the last few days?
I might have sent it. Yeah, it's Google came up with a technology.
Oh, okay. No, but I will watch it. Yeah.
Okay. Google came up with a technology about 5 or 6 years ago, and it just came across me again. I thought, you know, people need to see this because this is where we're heading, being interfaced with technology. What they decided to do, instead of having you accessing a computer or a cell phone with a password all the time, you swallow a pill, which is then the acids in your stomach activate the battery in it, and so now you're a walking transmitter. So now you can touch your computer, it'll come on, you don't need a password to access your account.
Holy cow!
You can turn on your radio in your car, you're basically a walking, talking, amplified transmitter, because you're already being a transmitter. Now, one of the reasons why this is working is because you have nanoparticles inside you and the chemtrails above you, because they're loaded and saturated with these metals that are highly conductive. And the other thing they were showing is a scientist came along with an idea to micro-size a chip on a silicon adhesive where it will stretch and bend. They can strap this on, and then they can take a reading of your bodily functions, but it can also transmit. And receive. So they can basically, again, alter your chemistry with this stuff. So this is where, and their concept was that when you're trying to interface biology with technology, biology is soft and technology is hard. So basically, we need to incorporate a means to, you know, connect the two. So now all you have to do is have this technology inside of you and or the means to connect with technology inside of you. And now you are connected. Basically, we are interfacing biology with metals in our bodies, nanoparticles, which makes us more conductive, more receptive to transmissions, with whatever they want to eventually interface us with.
Wow. Now, Tony, now that you've cheered us up with all these things.
This is your, you know, morning pick me up.
Right. We need to have solutions. Now, how do everybody on the planet is vulnerable to what you've just said, but it seems that there are people who are more vulnerable and that the elite live a very long life. What are they doing? How are they avoiding it?
What makes you think they are living like you are?
Well, they're not, obviously.
There you go. That's one thing. Look, if I'm at war with you, I'm going to go to war with you, right? You and I are two opposing countries, you know, and mm-hmm. we have, you know, we're fighting over a hangnail. And I develop a technology to take you out because you've developed a technology to take me out. Now, at the same time, you and I are going to also develop the counter to that technology so that if you do get hold of my technology, you're not going to be able to use it against me because I will have means to block this or have neutralized it. You know, I mean, every military has that perception. I mean, the Chinese were the ones who developed biowarfare and made it a fine art back in the 1980s. And they developed it for the Russians, because at that time Russia had a nuclear superiority to the Chinese. And what the Chinese developed was a means to transport biofilm into the troposphere and then send it across to wherever they wanted to go and drop it down anywhere they wanted to. And they were able to make it so that the biofilm and the pathogens in the biofilm would survive that trip. The chemtrails that we're dealing with, if you're talking about low-flying chemtrails, they are the ones that release the pathogenic material. The higher ones release activate the weather. So when we're talking, what are we going to do? Well, number one, you're going to support your local farmer. Even though you're still going to get chemtrail fallout and some other things, if you support the local farmer, number one, you can then put in your order how you want things done. You know, they'll grow things. They can put things into the earth. Or you may want to start your own indoor greenhouse or grow up, as I call it. Because as long as you keep eating the stuff at the store, you can never, ever fully recover. You will always be buying pills or vitamins or whatever you're doing to offset these things. So number one, we got to be fortified and rebuild the inside. So and support.
And that goes for the whole food stores and that kind of thing.
They are junk. They are a farce. They are a huge farce. Okay, when we're talking USDA,
mm-hmm.
they got a history going back to 1902, and all they've ever done is they have devalued the health of the North American people. They have not looked for any interest. They have not looked for any kind of safety. I wouldn't trust that green sticker as far as I could spit. You know, it's just not. It is a big fabrication of again making people feel uncomfortable. They're eating something safe. We talked to a geneticist. I didn't talk. We listened to a geneticist about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And he was the one that actually got me back looking at glyphosates. I knew about glyphosates, but after listening to him, he wasn't really that up on a lot of things. But what he was up on, because he was from South Africa, he made a point that everything that we're eating has some form of glyphosate on it. They're spraying it on everything because it allows them to harvest more stuff. It allows them to get more yield, but you can't clean that crap out, just like nano silver. You can't wash that off either. I mean, the experiments done on pears, for instance, after they sprayed them as an insecticide, 4 days of soaking, they couldn't get it out of the skin. And in some cases, the silver had penetrated the skin. This is why I tell people, peel your skins. So after looking at that glyphosate and looking at what's really going on and why people are so sick, 90 to 95% of the illnesses I would attribute to glyphosate poisoning and nanoparticle poisoning. That's where I would attribute it today, not the normal, you know, Lyme's disease. I don't even think most people have Lyme at all. In fact, I think they're being misdiagnosed with it. I think what they actually have is nanoparticle poisoning or biofilm poisoning from chemtrails. So, I mean, they call it Morgellons, which is another kind of a misdirect too. But anyhow, so number one, you're going to have to rebuild your infrastructure inside you, and that means that you're going to have to get things that have the components you need to rebuild. Number two, you're going to have to take stuff out of your body, and that has to be done daily or regularly in order to maintain a low volume of these things inside you, giving your immune system a chance to be able to stay on top of things. When you combine more than one element on the body, call it a binary attack, your immune system will collapse. So when you start taking the metals out of the body, you start flushing the nanoparticles out of the body, which can be done by using sulfur, salt, phosphorus, minerals, iodine, again, which are all accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make a sulfur extract by either juicing onion or garlic, then taking the ratio and have equal parts of alcohol to it, shake it up and use a quarter teaspoon. Then you can mix in there if you want your magnesium, your zinc. Zinc, manganese, and calcium are very key in reducing glyphosates in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Applying that same theory for myself internally, I'm even theorizing that the glyphosates would get past the gut barrier and would be into the system. And I think this is one of the reasons why people can't get rid of the candida, because they're saturated with glyphosates because of the way it destroys things. Number two, you need to rebuild yourself on the cellular level. One of the things glyphosate destroys is cholesterol. And so you need to get your saturated fat levels back up, whether it's through butter, ghee, lard, tallow, coconut oil, cocoa butter, palm oil. Get it back going. You want to use things like vitamin A, which nobody talks about anymore, because that can protect your lungs from respiratory issues. It can protect your kidneys from adrenal fatigue. It also protects the fats. You might want to use things like iodine to fortify your body, vitamin C, any form of sulfur you like, any form of phosphorus. But if you're going to use phosphorus, mix it with minerals so that it will push those minerals into the cells, because one of the things that phosphorus does is allows the cells to have penetration. Use salt. Use potassium. Because these two will, salt especially, will flush things out of the cells. Anything you bind with salt, sodium ascorbate or whatever, will get into the, get in on a cellular level, and that's what you're looking for. We got to get this stuff out of our cells. Eventually, we have to flush this out of our DNA. Where vitamin C comes in handy is it reverses the damages of the telomerase, the telomeres that are breaking down. Again, any high-profile, any auxins that you want to use will come in handy. Any enzymes that you want to use will also come in handy to help further break down some of the stuff. If you do some studying about minerals and how they can counteract some metals, I mean, selenium counteracts cadmium. It counteracts, I believe, aluminum and mercury. Iodine counteracts a whole host of metals, including aluminum, mercury, cadmium.
How much iodine do you take a day?
Do I take a day?
Yeah.
I'll cycle mine, but usually when I'm taking it, I'm taking anywhere from 4 to 6 drops a day when I do take it. I mean, because, again, I cycle my stuff off and on because I'm doing a lot of different things. Sometimes I'll add 1 drop. Like, for instance, last night I made an ascorbate mix with minerals and stuff, so I added the iodine with it. So I added maybe 1 or 2 drops. I'm always cycling things around because I don't want my system to get too accustomed. And I've been using iodine for a long time anyway, so I kind of can tell when I need to back off. Any mineral, copper I'm using tons of, selenium I'm using tons of, you know, sulfur I'm using. I made a phosphorus mixture the other day where I've added certain things into the phosphorus, again, so it has a better delivery mechanism to get into where it needs to go. Basically, I liposome with different minerals in it and some herbs. So, I mean, I'm always tinkering because I'm trying to, you know, I'm looking at these issues from several different points. First, fortify my system so that I'm able to fight this stuff more efficiently. Secondly, reduction of these things in my body. I use borax, for instance, and baking soda in my bath because it pulls radiation out of my body. I know.
I have borax, and I just haven't used it yet.
Yeah, and borax makes magnesium more absorbable.
Throw that in today then.
So that means then the magnesium is more effective at pushing the aluminum out of the body.
There's several questions in the chat room, but I don't want to interrupt you.
Go ahead. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to get into your chat room. I haven't figured that out yet.
Oh, okay. Let me just, it's spingola.chatango.com.
That's right.
Okay. Do you have an opinion regarding bulletproof coffee?
Bulletproof coffee. What is bulletproof coffee? Does it got a Kevlar vest around it? What are you talking about?
It's something that Dave Asprey pushes.
I have no idea. I pay so little attention to these marketing things anymore these days. I don't have a lot of confidence in a lot of products are being sold today. Very few of them do really anything other than bleed the wallet. So, I mean, I don't know what he means by bulletproof coffee. Is he mixing with a different herbal combination? I mean, what's he doing? I do the same thing. I just, you know, I make herbs and stuff, and I will put them in my coffee pot, and then I'll add my coffee afterwards. So I'm not sure what he's doing.
Okay. Do you have an opinion? Let's see. What is the temperature that vitamin C is destroyed? For instance, one of the gentlemen puts vitamin C in hot herbal tea.
Yeah, then it's done.
Okay.
I think it's around 100 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, it can take some heat, but I forget how much. You can probably look it up online. But when you're putting it in teas and coffees and it's hot, then you're pretty well reduced it. If you haven't killed it completely, you've reduced it dramatically.
Okay. How can you tell when to back off iodine supplements?
Everyone's going to respond differently, but usually one of the things that can happen is you wind up being overly anxious because you got all this energy and you don't know what to do with it, and you're basically working a hard warp drive. Sometimes you do feel a certain issues going on with your body, certain weaknesses and things like this, which would indicate that you got metal poisoning going on. So, I mean, basically, the way to, minimize that is do your saturation of 1 to 4 drops a day in beverages, and then test yourself every couple of weeks. Put an iodine drop to see how long it takes to fade. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you an indication that, you know, how topped off you are. I've had people that have used this stuff, and the stuff doesn't fade for 2 days, you know.
Wow.
So that's telling you that they've got enough. So then at that point, when you get to that level, then you take it once or twice a week for maintenance.
Okay. Now, I've been taking 50 for probably 3 months, 4 months.
Okay.
And I also put oil on my thyroid, and then I add a few drops, several drops, and rub it in. You know, I don't feel different. I mean, I feel better, but I'm not overly anxious or anything, so I'm probably fine.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't worry about it at that point. Well, I think I may have found the answer for this one woman. Let's see here. Hold on a second.
Because I was taking Synthroid. My doctor had me on Synthroid for probably a dozen years. And it really never did anything. I didn't have a solution for the problems that I went to her to begin with. And then she did this thyroid test. She said, oh, you need to be on Synthroid for the rest of your life. And then after listening to you and other people, I thought, well, I don't take any prescription drugs at all. And I feel great as far as I'm sure I could feel better if I got rid of the metals and things in my body.
Well, you got to remember, we're on a constant battle. And,
oh, okay.
So, I mean, your body is always under some sort of a front. And, like, you know, when I look at the stuff today, you know, I mean, I was talking to Patrick the other day. Yeah. And he was, like, saying, well, you know, what do you mean? I mean, we're going to get to the point of, you know, we're going to be, we got to do something. We got to eat. I said, sure, you got to eat something. You got to eat everything. But the thing is, I said, you are looking at what we're dealing with today, and you have to look at it from today's perspective, not 1970s perspective. We're not there anymore. And so when we're talking about today's stuff, I said, you got to learn how to neutralize a lot of these things, because if you don't, they are going to load you up. So, so again, when we're talking some of the, what we're dealing with today, I mean, we didn't have chemtrails back in the 50s. We didn't have, I mean, that's when they started shortly thereafter the Second World War, and it was nowhere near the saturation levels we are at today. We didn't have genetics back in the 50s or 60s. You know, it came out in the 70s. That's when they started bringing that out.
Uh-huh.
You know, we didn't have nano delivery mechanisms for vaccines. Back then, vaccines, you had five if you had that many, and they were dead culture. They did use mercury as a means to, and aluminum to transport this crap into us, but I mean, we only had five compared to 45 and 70 like they're doing today. So, again, when we're talking what we're dealing with today, and then on top of that, we're dealing with, you know, all the other infrastructure issues going on in everybody's country, the shifting of everything. You know, we're talking a lot of different things we're exposed to, the food supply not being, you know, what it was. I mean, back in the 1950s, you talk to anybody that was that's 80 years old today, they weren't vaccinated. They didn't have any of the criteria that was required. They ate whatever they grew on the farms or what they bought in the markets back then, and they're still in better shape than a lot of 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, according to that vitamin C thing where they get heated up, the ranges can be from anywhere from 20 to 95 degrees Celsius. Again, this we're talking in foods. So that gives you an indication that again, because of the fiber, it protects it. So it would probably be a lot less when it's just straight. So 20 Celsius is about 60, 20 degrees Celsius is about 60 degrees, give or take.
Okay. Now, getting back to this thing on colloidal silver, I made several bottles. But I, after listening to some of the things, after thinking about some of the things that I've read, I felt that it was not something that I wanted to ingest, and wasn't even sure that I wanted to use it topically.
It can cause photosynthesis on the skin, but the thing is about colloidal silver is not something you take every day. That is sheer stupidity. And that's just marketing crap trying to sell products. There's no way, reason in the world to be taking nanosilver daily. Nobody that I know of, chemists and other people, even and from Europe and whatnot, ever used silver daily. They did use it when they were afflicted with something for a short time. And you can pull this stuff out by using things like sulfur, like STS, or even other chelating things to pull it out. But
or salt loading.
Salt loading will help, sure. But the insanity that's going on today with this insane use of the especially the silver products they're selling now, which aren't even colloidal, they're nano. In my humble opinion, you have to have a rock in your head to even consider what they're telling you. But again, these are the high-profile gurus that are making all this money because they have a name, and now they, you know, if they say something, it's got to be gospel. I even tell people what I'm saying, you know, go research it. Don't just accept everything I'm saying at face value. If I make a mistake, it's going to be a biggie because it's all over the air. So you need to validate what I'm saying as well on every level, on anybody that you're listening to. So, I mean, I have used silver in the past. I prefer using iodine to treat things over silver.
Me too. I love iodine.
I think it's a far superior product. I think colloidal copper is a far superior product than silver. Your body needs copper. Your body needs iodine. They actually work together, copper and iodine, to protect you from viruses, bacteria, fungi, and all these other things.
Okay, colloidal copper. How does that work?
It's a virus. It's basically, if you've got copper in your body, it's one of the key minerals for producing SOD. SOD protects your lungs, it protects your eyes, it protects your cells, it actually supports your glutathione levels. It's a key protector of the body from algae and mold, even. So when we're talking glyphosates, what's one of the minerals that it strips out is copper.
And okay, how do we put copper back in?
Well, you can do it. You can make your own colloidal copper, and then,
okay,
you know.
Do you have a video on that?
We will soon. Basically, it's the same thing as making silver. Attach two wires in a solution. I added citric acid to the solution. You can add citric acid. You could add baking soda.
Now, can you use a one of those silver generators to make that?
Some people have tried it, and they're telling me that they're not getting whatever results. I don't know. I mean, these silver generators, I think a lot of them are what they are. One guy on YouTube had a unit. I think he paid something like $300 or $400 for this unit.
Yeah.
I was supposed to give him 20 parts per million. It was not even giving him that. It was giving him 17. I thought, it's so simple to make. All you need is, you can go to any secondhand store. You can buy a computer adapter, anything that's going to give you 2 to 4 amps, and basically plug that in, open up the two ends, add your alligator clips, connect them to your silver, put them in a solution, let them sit there for, you know, as long as you want. Do your TDS testing, and you can see that you can make your own without having to spend $400 for a machine. It's just insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they get into, and this is the thing about this industry that really irks my ire in a lot of ways. If you got a product that's really good, for instance, let's just go with ascorbic acid with vitamin C. We know it works. We know it's got, you know, 80 years of valid backing on it. Then you're going to have all these other guru doctors, which I think are worse, that are in this industry, which I think are further trying to sabotage the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Try to sell you their product, their form of vitamin C. It's far more superior, blah, blah, blah. For a little wee bottle, 1 ounce bottle, or 30 capsules of their whole food, super sized, specially formulated, supersonic, ultrasonic vitamin C, you're going to spend mega dollars for something that isn't going to do anything. Matter of fact, we'll probably do less if you went and bought powdered vitamin C and used the proper dosing. So they're trying to shift everybody away in the paradigm in the health food industry to go from the stuff that actually worked. Because if you don't buy enough ascorbic acid because you're thinking that it can be a problem, and you're buying this so-called whole food crap that they're selling, you get this low money going to the one thing. So they'll cut it out because they're not going to make enough money on it.
Mm.
And a lot of these whole food supplements just don't work. They are, you know, they just don't work. I don't think that you need to, I think you need to focus on, I think most people need to just focus on basics. You know, don't go into all these elaborate things. Oh, see, what happens when you get into the health thing, all of a sudden you're looking for that Superman pill or that Superwoman pill. You take the one pill and it's going to make you run faster, jump higher. You know, it's going to turn you into a porn star, a mental genius. You're going to, you know, be invincible to every pathogen known to man. You know, but just because using health food supplements doesn't mean you can't get sick. It just means that you're more resistant to getting sick.
Okay.
That's what that really means. Now, again, we are dealing in a totally different paradigm today. So, you know, I would still use silver. I mean, again, if I used the iodine, I used the copper, and I couldn't knock out whatever the heck was inside of me or going on, or all I could do at best was spin my wheels and maintain, then I would use silver. But again, like I said, I don't personally go out of my way to use it. I don't think it's that necessary. I don't think you should be using it daily either. I think you're getting enough silver in your food wrappings and your part of packaged goods and all the other things and on the crops that you're buying. If you ever get a 60X ocular and look at an apple, you will see all these wonderful gray spotted parts on the apple or pear or some of these other fruits. And that's your nanometals being sprayed on them or the chemtrails. So yeah, I don't think you need to be taking any more metal like that in your system.
I agree, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to use it for a short interim, I don't have a problem with it, you know. And I've never seen, I had a severe case of some sort of respiratory bug that hit me. I got it from eating a turkey one Christmas. And it took me 3 days. I was using my herbal remedies, and all I could do is just barely maintain. So, I mean, because I wasn't thinking clearly because of the fever I was having and these chills. So when I did have a moment in time to think, I decided to use some silver orally and then took a bath in vinegar and cold water, which took the fever right out of me. And I was able to recover like within hours after I did that. Now, again, that's not for the weak of heart, that kind of therapy. I mean, that'll basically rattle your cage big time. But that it worked. Now, my son also got hit with that stuff, and I never had to give him any silver because I had him on colostrum for about a year. So he had an immune system that was bulletproof almost. I mean, it did hit him gave him a headache for a half hour, and that was the extent of it.
Wow.
So, you know, but again.
I'm a big proponent of colostrum, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's got transfer factors in it. The transfer factors was all being controlled by multi-level marketing companies. I would be buying that, but because they're all controlled by MLMs these days, and it's not cheap to buy because you can't get it sourced anywhere now because it's all being controlled by these multi-level marketing companies.
Well, if you get it right from the dairy, the Amish farmer.
They extract the transfer factor from the colostrum, so you get a higher concentration of the transfer factor. So if you have a real serious compromised immune system, and let's say you can't handle the dairy because your system's too compromised, you can take the transfer factor because it's been extracted out,
okay.
and it can really make a big difference in the immune system as well. So that's the problem with some of the stuff. Some of the stuff that does really have some merit is either controlled by multi-level marketing companies, which you know, the majority of them are scammed. The one company wanted you to buy $100 worth of product every month in order to maintain your membership status. I thought, what a crock of nonsense. This is supposed to be your business, and yet they're going to tell you how to run it. So anyway, I don't buy these products because of that reason. They're good. Some of them are good products. It's just I have a problem with being a controlled market, and so I'll look for an alternative, and that's what I do.
Right. Now, I've been using a lot of herbs lately and things that are more natural, not chemical, but natural kinds of things. And like I say, I've made so many tinctures and cough syrups and other things from watching your videos. I've gone through, you know. It's just been so much fun. I've just had such a wonderful time. I've got three tinctures tincturing right now.
There you go. See, you're gonna take over. You're gonna do videos. Take over. Show
no,
the
I'm just. And I've also, now we need to apply some of these same remedies to our animals, because every animal that people purchase from anywhere they get them, whether it's from a shelter or from a cattery or whatever, those animals are going to be damaged, vaccine damaged. I have three cats, all of which were vaccinated because I got them all from a cattery. They were expensive animals. And my last cat that I purchased had vaccine damage and had colitis. And I've given him colostrum, I've given him glutamine, I've given him coconut oil, and he's doing pretty well.
I agree with you. In the last 8 years since I've been back in Windsor, I've had more pets. People call me from horses, dogs, cats. We showed them how to make the cold silver. They've used that cold silver that we showed them on YouTube, and it has rectified a lot of the animals' health issues. We've given them chaga mushrooms for those who had severe cases of cancer. A lot of them survived or beat it. We've given them, a lot of people with pets to start feeding your animals what you eat. Go buy some ground beef at a store, go buy eggs, go buy yogurt with fat, and if you're eating it, you give it to them. Do not buy anything from a vet. Do not buy anything from any pet store, in a box, bag, or can. There is like a tripe that comes from New Zealand, which is safe, but you really, I mean, if you're going to give them canned food, then you may have to go to the grocery store, buy them canned tuna that's in water, salt, and fish. At least you know that's clean. If you look at the links I got on pet food and you take a read on that stuff, you will not buy your pet another can, box, or bag of anything that these corporations are putting out on the market. You would not even go near it. It's stuff not even good for fertilizer. That's how bad it is. And your animals, a lot of them are dying between the ages of 10 and 13 years old now. That's even your small little, terrier type dogs, small pint sized dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Those dogs and cats too. Those dogs live usually between around 18 to 22 years.
Wow.
And they're all dying at 12 years old. And a lot of them are dying from diabetes. They're going blind, which is a form of diabetes because of these foods. They have digestive disorders. They have intestinal disorders. They have severe arthritic pain. Sometimes you can't even pick up the pet without the pet, squirming and crying because they're in pain. And that's because of these foods that you're feeding them that are loaded with, again, glyphosates, which strip out these animals, the minerals and whatnot. I'll tell you a true story. We had a Jack Russell up in Washington that was going blind. And so I asked them, what are you feeding them? And they say, we're buying this stuff from the pet, from the vet, which was really expensive. I said, throw that crap away. And you start feeding them, meat and hamburger and eggs and whatnot, because the eye was starting to go gray. Anyway, 2 days later, they called me back and they said they couldn't believe the difference. The dog was actually more mobile, wasn't in pain. The color in the eye was starting to clear up. And after about a week, the dog was out there running around and doing what it was doing. So I said, yeah, just maintain this because, you got to rebuild the dog. And I see this all the time with almost every pet that we deal with. We get them off of all that crap at the market. And we just tell them, if you're buying ground beef, buy some for your pet. If you're buying ground chicken, buy some for your pet. If you're buying whatever, whether it's raw or cooked, give them that. That's what you feed them. Don't feed them this stuff that's being sold.
Now, how about giving them magnesium and iodine, turpentine, that kind of thing?
I wouldn't necessarily give them turpentine all the time, but I would give it to them to deworm them. Magnesium, iodine, any minerals. Heck, I would even tell you to take a mineral composition, mix it in yogurt with fat, let it sit overnight, and then the next day let the animal eat it, even if you sweeten it up with just a little bit of maple syrup or whatever, so that they'll go for it. Because they're already addicted to sugar anyway, and this will just activate the bacteria in the colon better. And it's a natural I mean, I'm not talking a lot, just maybe a drop or two, just so that they, you know, once they taste it, they'll want to keep on going for it.
Yeah, dogs like sugar, but I don't think cats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at the cat food. You know, look at any of the cat foods that you're buying in the store. The first three things you got in there is corn, wheat, and rice. And then right after that is soy. All these foods are glyphosated, loaded. They're all sugar, except for the soy. And, you know, we know the soy is a depleter of the life force. It takes out iodine. It takes out vitamin D, B12, B2, calcium, magnesium, manganese, zinc. You know, it strips the body of everything. Then you got the glyphosates on top of that, which further exacerbates the stripping. So, yeah, I mean, they look at their food. They're sugar loading them as well. That's why these cats are having problems as well. And that's why sometimes you see these animals go, you know, obese.
Ah, I have one obese cat.
So.
Yeah.
Sugar. I mean, you got to remember, if sugar is killing us, it would kill them as well.
Right. And
so again, when you're talking genetics, you got to remember, pet food, they don't care. I mean, they got dead animals in pet food. They've got experimental animals in pet food. They've got roadkill in pet food. They don't care where the corn is coming from. It's just going into your pet. So they just don't care, you know. So your pet is eating genetics, GMOs, glyphosates, you know. They're eating metals that are, again, in the same food supply. So when they put these sugars in them, it's to addict the animal to the food. And to even block some of the sensations from, because they can smell the deaths of the animals in these foods, so they mask it. So, I mean, take a look at it sometimes. You know, they added the taurine and everything for the cat food, which they're supposed to doing, but how much of it is going to actually be in the food is again questionable.
Okay, so you're saying that taurine would be good to put in, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, they need it. They need for some reason they need the taurine.
Okay.
Because again, they can wind up again. Taurine, even for males, for humans. I mean, we need it so that we maintain our brain, so we don't wind up going into epileptic fits.
Right. Okay.
So, and I think it's the same thing with the cat. It's you have the same reaction or response.
Right.
So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I have one. Well. Really fat cat, and so I put them on a diet, but I've always left food out for them.
Right.
And I buy the food that doesn't have the corn and the wheat and the soy. So anyway, I have this one, well, fat cat. I put them on a diet, so I couldn't leave any food out because then the other cats would eat. And so now I've got three cats at once that are acting out because they want food that isn't there, so they get naughty and they do things just say, "Hey, Mom, give us some food." And it's, I don't know. You know, I have to figure out what they need and try and keep them healthy. And you can't just have something out for one and not for the other. So it's a problem.
Well, the way I look at dogs and cats, they're carnivores, and their diet should be a high protein, high fat diet. You know, and again, if they're eating vegetation matter of any kind, it's usually to clean the stomach. But the vegetation matter is usually alive or living because of the enzyme activity. Because the cellulase in the cellulose will break down in their digestive tract. Will help them purge. So I don't, the only time I'll give an animal any kind of veggie, it would have to be first alive. Maybe I might give them a carrot or for the fiber, an apple or something to that effect so they can eat that. They will eat that. You know, other people are, you know, will give these animals rice and things, which I think is nuts because again, they can't break it down anyway.
Right.
But anything that's alive, vegetation-wise, even if you give them, you know, if they like eating celery even or whatever, then let them have it. It's going to, they may bring it back out, but it's, again, to help their systems purge out anything, again, that might be in their, that's how they detox.
Right. Now, I give them catnip. I have a lot of catnip on hand. I give them that. Yeah, it does buzz one of them. Which brings us all to the idea that the factory farms are feeding garbage to the cows that they cannot digest, makes them horribly sick. They're feeding them. Well, cows are supposed to eat grass. That's what they have two stomachs for.
Actually, that's not true. I found that out. We were talking about that last week, and we were actually just some research on that. They actually have one stomach, but with four different chambers.
Oh, okay.
Because I always was under that assumption as well, that they have two stomachs. And so somebody contacted me while I was doing the show, so we decided to look that up. Now, sheep have four stomachs. Goats have four stomachs. Sheep have, according to my one buddy, three. The mouth itself acts like a stomach, so that when it's chewing the grass, it actually, the digestive process starts right there like a stomach. I mean, he went into some detail on that. But the stomach of the cow, because these chambers are so huge, it looks like they've got more than one stomach. And again, they are designed to, they're herbivores is what they are. And what they're doing nowadays is they're killing cows, grinding them up, putting them into the feed. And then they had to stop that practice. So what they did then is they took the ground-up cows that they were putting in the feed, and they fed it to pigs and chickens, and then they collected the fecal matter and put that in the cow feed. Now, you have to realize that it doesn't matter which way you go eating today. I don't care if you're talking organics. I don't care if you're talking vegan. I don't care if you're talking vegetarian. I don't care what you're talking. Every part of the food chain today has been contaminated or corrupted. And unless you're buying directly from a farmer or going directly to a farm, whether it be Amish, Hutterites, Mennonites, whatever you're going to, or farmers that are independent, you are going to wind up with some kind of contamination. There is no way around it.
Right, so, because of the chemtrails and whatnot, yeah.
Well, everything. So, I mean, all the factors. I mean, the genetics are feeding them, and again, the way they're the husbandry of the animals today, I mean, it's just... it would cost too much according to the system, the way the system's set up with these co-ops. It would cost way too much to do this properly. The co-ops need to be destroyed because they're creating this these health issues with their managing their profits rather than managing the animals. So when you're talking today, you have to learn how to neutralizing a lot of this stuff. And again, I don't encourage anybody to buy any milk from the grocery store. If you must buy a dairy product from the store, then buy fermented dairy, whether it be kefir, yogurt, or whatever, because at least now you have the bacterial culture in these foods that will allow you to break those proteins down that were glycated with the sugar and the other heating properties that they do with it. If you can make your own yogurt, then do so. But if you're going to buy dairy from a store, then you need to ferment it because that stuff is crap.
Right.
I wouldn't feed that stuff to a pig, literally.
Yeah, I get raw milk. I make my own kefir. I make my own yogurt. I make my own sauerkraut. Do all that stuff. Let me share an email.
Okay.
On pet food, animals need bones. And I give my Shelties raw chicken on the bone. The bones are full of nutrients, bone marrow, and they love the bones. Pottinger's cats proves that animals like and need raw food and live a long time because of it. Dogs and cats don't need ground up mush. They need real food, chicken with skin and bones. They thrive on it. I raise Shelties and start them on that raw chicken when they're 6 weeks old.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, she's right. We even tell people here, if you're worried about the bones splintering, go buy a big cow bone, like those big stewing bones.
Mm-hmm.
Let them gnaw on that. That's the best thing. That's the best way they can get their minerals. I mean, if you can get it where they can get the marrow at the marrow, that's where the life is in the bone as well and the nutrients. Yeah, she's right. She's absolutely right. Just nonsense about them choking on bones. I mean, the dogs were in the wild before we were domesticated, and they did not leave any part of the animal undone. I mean, they ate everything. So, again, if you are still concerned about that, then just go buy a big bone, big leg of something, you know, let them gnaw on it.
Wow.
Okay. Even the cats, they need that calcium as well, and that's what they do too. They sometimes will gnaw on stuff that will give them it sharpens their teeth, it keeps their mineral content high. And again, if they have access to the marrow, that's again another, it's like stem cells, basically renewing their bodies.
Okay. From the chat room, a cat should eat one mouse a day.
Hey, if you can catch it for them, feed it.
Wow.
You know, I mean, listen, years ago I had a couple of cats, and we, you know, this was before I knew all the stuff I knew about some of the food supply. But anyway, you know, we used to mix the dry with meat, which today I wouldn't do, but then we did. I mean, we always made sure that these animals had meat because we knew they were carnivores. And they were the best mousers. They were amazing mousers. You wouldn't even see the mouse, and they would have picked up on it, and then they'd be walking around parading the house with this mouse in their mouth, you know. So we didn't have very many mice, but once in a while you get one coming from the winter, and they nail it.
Now, if you were just starting out, and you were a new listener, and you were just starting out, trying to take responsibility for your own health, what's the first thing that you would do if you were feeling relatively okay, but you wanted to really become healthier? What's the first thing that you would do?
Learn to read labels.
Okay.
Number one. Okay, there's all kinds of systems. There's all kinds of theories. There's all kinds of ideologies. You know, whether you're into the new age, old age, whether you're into some sort of spiritual stuff or some kind of voodoo, whatever strokes your boat. But you learn to read labels. People tell me all the time, well, they go by a feeling thing. And I can appreciate feelings, but sometimes feelings can be not accurate. You know, they feel that this is good for them, and then they take the stuff, and they are taking one every whatever. And so the way chemistry works, you have to know how much to take in order for something to work. And that's number one. Number two, elimination. If you know you're starting off, then the first thing you've got to understand is how you're being poisoned, what's causing you to, or what could cause you to accelerate in your aging? What could cause you to accelerate in breaking down? This is imperative that you understand it. So you have to know what to avoid in eating. And that can become a complete whirlwind. I'm a firm believer in the omnivore system, eating everything in moderation. I don't believe in being vegan at all, unless it's for a short interim to help the body clean or purge itself, because that's what veganism does. It causes the body to strip down. And you can't afford to be maintaining a stripping down process all the time. Vegetarian, there's nothing wrong with that. That at least they are eating some kind of animal protein, whether it be yogurt, kefir, chicken, or whatever. But their diet is highly carbohydrate. Omnivore basically is more of a meat and potato kind of diet, but you also have different fats. You can drink wine. You can have fruit. You know, it's a mixture and a balance of everything. And I don't have a problem with being an omnivore and telling you that's probably the best way to go. But you have to understand what's in what you're eating. So that would be the two top things. And then after that, antioxidants and enzymes, vitamin C, any enzymes, a full spectrum enzyme. Iodine would be another main biggie today. Because of, again, what you want to do to fortify your body if you're already healthy. So these are just, I'd keep it very basic and fundamental. There used to be a product out years ago called ACEs, and what it was an antioxidant mixture of vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, zinc, and selenium. And it was one pound for pound, it was probably one of the best products on the market at that time. Now, I'd probably say if you wanted to save money, that would probably be a good way to go, and using these things 4 and 5 times a day to maintain a high profile of these antioxidants in your body. But finding one today that doesn't have soy or titanium dioxide or some other crap is another thing. Yeah, I was actually, while we were talking, I was looking at the vitamin C at the one site. They say it takes a long time to break down even in heat, so you probably could get away with it on some level. There's a Linus Pauling Institute on orthomolecular research, and they've done a lot of studying on vitamin C, so they may have that information for you as far as what the temperature goes. I know it's heat sensitive, but they're saying that there's a process and how long it takes to break down. So you do diminish it when you add it to heat, but again, how much I didn't have a chance to really look, because I'm trying to keep my focus on the show.
Sure. Sure. Oh, I can hear myself in the background. All righty. Another question. You say not to eat any grains, but in one of your videos, you talk about using oatmeal.
Yeah, that, and then we put on there as well in the video. If you look at the video, we did put an addendum on there. It should pop up just stating that at the time when we did the video, we weren't aware of the contamination going on with the grains.
Okay.
So, and we got all over the videos on there. So when you're watching this thing, it's throughout the video not to use the oats anymore.
Okay.
So, I mean, we did have that on there initially because of the way the oats were, they were also expanded with the fiber, but because because of the nature of the genetics, we are telling people not to do it.
Okay. Because I have not eaten grain since meeting you and looking at your things. I haven't probably eaten any grain since November of 2011. The other thing, in the background in your videos, I see a microwave oven.
Yeah, that was our earlier videos. That was a universal kitchen.
Okay.
I mean, we didn't use the mic, but there are other people that did. So, I mean, like you said, you can't make everybody healthy, so they can do whatever they want. But we had it there. And basically, that's your typical kitchen, most people anyway. But, I mean, I don't endorse microwave, but it was what was there, and that's what we had at the time. And that's what we used, you know.
Okay.
Since then, we've gone underground and in a tunnel and, you know.
Okay. Your views on MMS. Now, I've used it, got rid of C. diff using it.
I think it's pound for pound, it's up there with iodine and grapefruit seed extract and colloidal copper as far as healing the body and dealing with a lot of different things. I don't see a problem with it. I know they're being attacked right now. I had one of the guys on the show that was actually being attacked in Oregon. You might want to get a hold of him too. And anyway, he talked about it, and I've never used it. I have it here, but I've never felt the need to use it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm against it. I have never seen the need for it. Now, again, it's another one of these things that will touch things that other things won't touch, you know. And it's not a new concept. They used to use bleach back in the day. I mean, it's just sodium chloride, but I mean, the concept is the same. They used to use bleach back in the day. When they would get malaria, they would put a drop of bleach in the water, let it sit for 15 minutes, and then drink it. Same idea. He's just gone about it a little bit differently, so it's a sodium chloride rather than the chlorine. So, but it's the same concept that's there. It kills pathogens. You know, I mean, malaria? I think he was treating malaria with it.
Okay.
So, I think it's a good product. I think if you haven't bought the powder to make it, I would probably stockpile it. Like I would with turpentine, iodine, and vitamin C, because, you know, one of these days you're going to wake up and it's already happened in California. They can't get turpentine in some parts of the state there.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay. A response to, more from our friend in New York. She said, dogs can't eat a giant bone, not even a tiny part of it. It is to keep them amused, but not for food. Dogs and cats need bones. For a dog, a chicken bone is like us eating a pretzel. They have strong jaws and their stomachs have stomach acid that is like battery acid. It turns the chicken bones to mush. Bones get stuck because people never feed their dogs bones anymore. And so they're so starved for them that they inhale them. Isn't that, that sounds very, very likely, right?
But I would disagree with her on the big bone. I think that's she's a bit on a stretch there. We get the dogs here, big bones, and they take them down in a short period of time. They wear them down and they eat them. I mean, I think that's again, maybe an opinion, because I mean, we've got people here with dogs and they have no problem putting those big bones down. So they take them a while. It's not about amusing. It's again, she's missing. She doesn't got that right either. It's when they're gnawing on that bone, they're absorbing the calcium, they're absorbing the minerals, and they are sharpening their teeth.
Okay.
And that's how they keep their jaws strong, and that's how they keep their teeth healthy. Same with us. If we're eating mush all the time, our teeth become corroded because they don't have anything there for them to bite into. So when we're dealing with these animals, again, you know, maybe that's been her experience, maybe with the type of dog or cat she's dealing with. But, I mean, here we've got Great Danes, we've got Beagles, we've got, I mean, all German Shepherd, and they're all on the big bone thing, and no problem.
Right. I made bone broth using a great big knuckle bone from a beef, and I left some stuff on it, set it down for the cats, and they couldn't carry it off, but one of them tried. You know, they tried to carry it. They don't want to share it necessarily, but they were having quite a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Someone's got in a chat room, the Russia banned microwaves. Yeah, they did back in 1977, but they've got them back again.
Wow.
They've learned that, you know, you gotta kill your population, you know, just like everybody else does. So, you know, what the mandate that's going on is going on across the planet. You know, whatever you might be reading about, you know, a country might not be doing this or doing that. Again, you got to look at when that was written and what's going on really today. And then again, when you're talking to people from those countries, you get the real deal. You're not getting some, you know, like they used to do back in the day, back in the 90s, they used to say, well, in Japan, this is what they found in Japan. And then, you know, nobody ever looked at those studies to see if they actually came from Japan. One guy came out with this Adia Clarity thing, and I didn't trust it from the word get-go because I didn't really trust the person or his ideologies. So I decided to go investigate it, you know, just to be open about it. And because they say they got all this stuff from Japan, which is very convenient to say because you can't find it in America or Canada because it's local. But if you can say it's Japan, it's got to be good because the Japanese are doing it. But anyway, so I went and looked it up, and I found, they did use the Adia Clarity. But what they didn't tell you is they also reversed osmosis the water that they had the Adia Clarity in there, because what it did is it attracted all the pollutants into the component, and if you drank it, it could poison you. Because the higher concentration of the contaminants are more concentrated in one spot. Anyway, I realized that and you couldn't find the researcher that they talked about. He didn't exist. And so again, it's a big game, and that's what they do all the time. So whenever I hear something coming out of Japan, I disregard it right away because I don't believe first and foremost it's coming out of anywhere. And again, it's a very convenient way of trying to promote products with some far-fetched country. And then when you actually do the research on some of this stuff, you find out how they actually used it to make it effective. And people were not drinking the water with this stuff in it. They drank the water that was filtered afterwards with the reverse osmosis process. So, again, you don't get this.
Right. Now, you use two kinds of water. You use distilled and the reverse osmosis water.
Yep.
You do not use other waters. They were mentioning too in the chat room about microwave ovens, and we all know the story about the students who decided that they were going to use microwaved water on a plant, killed the plant,
yeah.
And then they used just regular tap water on the other plant, which lived. And I heard a story about somebody using a microwave to warm up some transfer blood that they were going to use for a transfusion, and they used it, and the patient died.
Yep.
It radiates your food so that it has absolutely nothing left to it, no vitamins, no minerals, no anything, correct?
Plus it also glycates your proteins, so they become undigestible. It alters the chemical structure of just about everything you're eating. And again, now you have to consider with the nanoparticles that you have inside, there might be a reaction going on with that as well. So when you're talking, you know, microwave, the only thing they ever said that I was really ever good for was making bombs. So, I mean, and that's what we're using now, microwave technology from space. So, you know, I don't see any need for them. I don't ever use them. And if I need to heat something up or warm something up, I just put it back on the stove, put it in a pan, add a little, maybe either water or
water,
oil,
yeah,
and something like that. Or if I got to reheat even a tea, I just reheat it on the stove. I mean, so it takes 5 minutes instead of 30 seconds. At least I know that molecular structure of that water is still intact, and it's not going to cause me any problems.
Exactly. Yeah, I got rid of my microwave a couple of years ago, and I hadn't been using it. It was just sitting there.
Yeah.
But I thought, and I don't have any phones that aren't hardwired. Of course, I do have the internet and the a router that.
Are you running a cable? Or are you running it through?
It's wireless.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, run it through the cable. You'll see a big difference. Just run a direct cable to your computer or your laptop. You see a big difference with that.
Okay. So. Somebody mentioned that mothers use microwaves to heat up their baby's formula.
Yep. Which is a soy-based formula, most of them, which would have the nanoparticles in them, like your silver and aluminum and whatnot. And then they're heating it up with a nuker, and then you wonder why your child is not developing properly, because you know you give them glyphosate, you give them soy, you've nuclearized their food. Then you wonder why the child is acting the way he acts or she's acting. Why is this child acting so strangely?
Sure.
Maybe because you've depleted the brain from having one.
Sure. Okay, I'm sorry. I hadn't been looking at my call screen. We do have a caller. Let's just...
Okay.
Caller, 585. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to have you hold on so long. I get so engrossed in the conversation. I just didn't look.
But I didn't know any other way to even listen to the program, even if you didn't pick up the phone. Because how do you listen to the program?
blogtalkradio.com/Deanna2 or from the archives. But anyway, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, the archives is what I am. But if you want to listen live. Well, I wanted to quickly make a comment about a friend of mine, and maybe Tony would... you know, if he's not really up, it's on the subject of HIV, and if he's not really up on the subject, maybe he could, maybe another time, like, give his opinion or something. But I have this friend who, she's only 42 years old, and she got pneumonia and went in the hospital. So while she was in there, they tested her for AIDS, and one of the, when they test for AIDS, I've been doing a lot of studying on this, when they test for AIDS, they're not looking for the HIV virus. Nobody's ever seen it. There's no way to test for it. What they're testing for is the antibodies. And you
there's no such thing as HIV. That's why. And there's no such thing as AIDS.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
You're dealing with an acronym.
Yeah, right. Well, HIV, but AIDS, there is such a thing as AIDS, but it's not caused by a virus.
I disagree with you. There is no such thing as AIDS. Again, you're dealing with an acronym.
It's called acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which means you're sick.
It just means you're sick. It's an acronym meaning you're sick. It's all it means.
Yeah, right. We can all get it. Whenever our immune systems are down, you might say we all have AIDS. And this HIV is, you know, it's not... When they test for it, the point I was making, they're testing for antibodies that can come from like about 40 or 50 different conditions, including pneumonia. So they told her she had HIV, and now they've got her in a nursing home, and they've got her on this terrible drug called Atripla, which is highly addicting.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
When they test for anything, they want to treat you for something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The thing doesn't exist.
Now she's in a nursing home, and she can't escape. They've got her on these drugs that actually cause you to get to die, you know, to shrivel away and, you know, and everything. And they say, there, see, she.
Okay. How old is this woman?
And this drug is a mind-bending drug.
Okay, how old is she? She's 42.
42. Yes. They might be organ harvesting her. That's possible. That's not unusual.
They're making a ton of money on her because the drugs, this Atripla drug is very expensive. I mean, some of these drugs they've had her on were like $1,000 a week
or something.
Okay,
so you need to get her out some way. You need to break her out.
I'm trying. Yeah. All I can do is pray for her. I don't know.
No, you got to go break her out.
I tried to tell her. I can't even go visit her when she comes. They let her out like for Christmas or something. For
you
got to
break her out some way.
Well,
yeah,
Deanna,
I know.
Let me mute you. Okay.
Deanna, you're not going to do anything there. First and foremost, there is no such thing as AIDS. Never was. That was a big. There was a scientist in the University of California that exposed that back in the early 1990s when the AIDS thing was a big thing. Basically, what they did is they threw out the AIDS as a boogeyman with the acronym. All that actually means is you're sick. Now, HIV is a virus, which, again, is, again, an untraceable virus. So, again, it makes one susceptible if that even exists. Now, we've had people who have been classified as HIV, and we've given them certain things, and then within 3 or 4 months, they are free of it without any drugs. So whatever viral infection that they're having or whether they're classifying, like she's saying, there's over 50 things that they can call HIV or AIDS. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's all it is. It's just a blanket acronym for ill health. You can have pneumonia. You can call it. You got HIV. You got it. So it's all. It's a lot of nonsense. We just talked about this on Patrick's show the other day about a doctor in Michigan got popped because he was bilking the state of Michigan for about $35 million a year for misdiagnosing people on purpose, for giving them therapies that they didn't need, chemotherapies on purpose. He was also giving people therapies that were already dying or would have had no effect on them whatsoever. And this is going on regularly. Here in where I'm at, euthanasia is happening regularly as well. So this, I've seen the same thing happen here where they did the same kind of thing to a woman. And the only thing that I figured out was it was an organ harvesting thing going on. She must have had something that was worth some money, and they were then trying to eliminate them. That happened here to a woman who was a native. She was about 38, about the same age, and they did the same kind of thing to her too. So unless they can say they want out and leave, there's not much this woman can do either. You can do all the breaking up, but that woman's got to want to go. You know, and as long as she's willing to, she's complying with whatever, then there's not much, again, anybody can really do on that.
I don't think medical testing, I've read a lot of books about medical testing. I don't think people should be tested for anything.
No, not today. No, it's because they're always being misdiagnosed, and they don't even know how to read their own test anymore either.
If you go in for a mammography, they're going to find something. If you go in for any, they're not looking to prevent. They're looking to find something in your body that they can treat and make money off of.
Well, like I said, they don't even have to do that. I'll have to send you you're on Skype. Maybe I have it here. No, it's upstairs on another computer. They don't even have to do that anymore, Deanna. Like I said, the doctor right now is facing criminal charges in Michigan for misdiagnosing, prescribing. One guy fell on his head, and he told the guy he needed to get chemotherapy before he went into the hospital. So he forced the guy to take the chemotherapy. The guy that bumped his head went into the hospital, died 6-7 hours later from the head injury, not from the chemo.
Oh, my gosh.
So, again, you don't even need that. I mean, like I said, we're in a totally different paradigm today. And when we're talking, again, ethics and morals, I mean, the medical system has no ethics or morals other than to, bow down to Pfizer, bow down to all these, pharmaceutical drug companies. and, you know, take their orders from Monsanto, because that's all they're there for. They're not there to heal you. You know, they haven't healed anything since they have not healed anything post-war, Second World War. There's
right.
not been one thing they've healed.
Right.
So what is that telling you? That is a drastic record of failure.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been a very, very informative program, and I thank you so very, very much for what you're doing. I hope that people will get the will watch all of your videos, will get the thumb drive that has all your information on it. The website, of course, is augmentinforce.50webs.com. If they, it's posted on our schedule page. Tony, thank you so very, very much for being on the program today.
So thanks for having me.
All right.
Glad to be here. So anyway, and I'll keep on sending you stuff so you keep keep your morning stimulated.
Okay, thank you so much. Alrighty, bye-bye, listeners.